First, a 2017 CDC report found that more than 24% of Wisconsin students polled said they were bullied on school property during that year. Bullying has real and damaging long and short-term effects, but it's hard to measure how common it is because different schools report it in different ways. That makes it tough for state officials to keep track of the problem and to figure out what interventions actually work. Beth Herman is an education consultant with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's Student Services Prevention and Wellness Team. Beth, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Before we get into the difficulty measuring bullying, it seems like everybody's in agreement it is a serious problem that needs to be tracked, right?
Correct. And the 24% is a pretty consistent number nationally as well as state. So, the CDC is probably using their YRBS data. And we can make comparisons between statewide data and national data to see if we're actually in trend with that. So that 24% is pretty on target.
Why is it hard, though, for us to measure school by school how much bullying is going on?
Well, initially, part of the difficulty is in how we define that. So if we aren't all defining it the same way, we're measuring apples and then comparing them to oranges. So having a consistent idea of what actually constitutes bullying is really important. We get a lot of calls from schools and parents sometimes about situations that may or may not be bullying. Just because something is a violent act doesn't mean that it constitutes a bullying incident. So having some definition to make that consistent across areas would be helpful. But then also, depending on how you measure it, could actually have a greater impact on whether you're getting good information or not.
Do we have a good working definition of bullying that most people in the field agree on?
There are. So about 7 years ago, the international research community around bullying prevention actually came up with a definition so that when they do studies, they can compare these studies. Previous to that, you could have data from one researcher that you couldn't necessarily compare to another because they weren't measuring the same thing. So there is a definition. That's the one that we have on our website. And it pretty is consistently looking at having an imbalance of power in the situation, as well as a repetitive action and an intent to harm. So it's a little bit different than a general bullying situation.
Do schools report any kind of bullying statistics, regularly to either the state or the federal government?
Not at this time. They do need to report harassment data, but harassment is a little bit different. So if you were to look at that harassment data, it's not going to line up very well. And at this point, there's no legislative authority granting DPI the ability to collect that data from schools.
So the CDC data sounds like it's the best we have to work with, but does that really allow us to drill into local communities, say, and figure out how they're dealing with bullying?
It can. So, and in fact, that's probably a better measure because oftentimes people are looking at what we call frequency data. How many bullying reports is the school receiving? Generally, that's a formal process. At the very least, a student or a parent is communicating verbally to somebody, but generally it's a report form. But we know students don't report. Particularly when we get to high school, they aren't reporting to adults. So the CDC data using the YRBS actually gets to what we call perception data, or where students are indicating their experiences, but they're doing it without identifying themselves, which is more likely to give them a better or more comfortable feeling to share that information. The CDC does this YRBS every other year in Wisconsin. And we will get from the CDC, they ask us to work, they identify samples in different schools to get statewide data. But on the other off year, schools can do their own YRBS. We have an online system that they can sign up to do, middle school through high school. And then they can get their own school's data to do that. That data is very powerful for this because it can also disaggregate that. By that I mean you're able to look at the students that are reporting being bullied by gender, racial and ethnic background, LGBTQ. It's one of the few measures we have where students can identify whether they belong to, or they identify themselves in that group. And those kinds of disaggregated data provide a better opportunity for us to intervene in a way that's going to be effective, as opposed to just a blanket 24%.
Talking to Beth Herman from the Department of Public Instruction, talking about bullying in schools, how we measure bullying and trends long term, and what we can do with that information. And Beth, you mentioned trying to figure out interventions. Do we have enough data to be able to measure, okay, if we try this program in this school, is it making a difference?
depends on the program. So in 2010, I believe, was when the bill passed for the bullying prevention law, which essentially said districts had to have a policy in place and that DPI had to do a model policy. And we do have a curriculum at the high school level that DPI created because there are very few at that level. But what we recommend is that districts use programs that are considered evidence-based. Schools know that language. They're familiar with it. These are programs that have actually been tested through generally peer-reviewed studies to indicate if done with fidelity or the way the program is designed that there should be an outcome. Once they're using an evidence-based program, schools can also then collect data to see if things are making an impact. One of the things I think people don't always understand, though, is that when you start a program, you're not going to see those big ticket items change right away. So the first couple years that you're doing these interventions, you may not see bullying reduce. And in fact, you may get the opposite, where it appears to increase because more people know what it is and are now reporting it or identifying it on those surveys. But you would start to see things like improvements in connection to adults in the building or other climate sorts of measures. So when you look at it, at any kind of intervention, it's a long-term process.
Looking at the data that we have, do we know how we're doing in Wisconsin when it comes to the amount of bullying that happens?
I think that CDC, that comes out every 2 years, is our best indicator. And, you know, when they say 24% of students are reporting that, that's pretty consistent with what we know. That data also does disaggregate. So we can get a pretty good picture in the state of Wisconsin how our students in different groups feel. Are girls feeling that they're more bullied than boys? Are LGBT students indicating that there's a greater degree of bullying? We can get a statewide picture. We can't do. I can't tell you what a certain district is doing or their certain data. That is up to them to collect what they do. And what they do with that data, that's entirely up to them.
We've heard from some of our listeners on our Ideas Network Facebook page. I want to run a few of their comments by you. Travis, first of all, says bullying is part of life. And I think there's a fairly common attitude. This is kids. Some people get bullied and they grow out of it eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in fact, if you start to address it, I haven't seen any study or any program that completely gets rid of it. However, we do know that very consistent, frequent bullying has significant impacts, not just on the kids that get bullied, but also the kids who engage in the bullying. Both of them are at greater risk for mental health concerns. Both of them are at greater risk for school difficulties and academic achievement problems. So it has a huge impact. So yes, it is very prevalent, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't respond.
John Paul writes, bullying has always been an issue, but when he was a kid, violence was never followed up on. John Paul says, at least now there is action and parents have resources to deal with it. So are we taking this problem more seriously than we might have a generation or two ago?
Anecdotally, from my experience, I would say definitely. And, you know, the degree to which people are responding and the types of responses are going to vary among communities. Schools have the authority to create their own intervention programs. But it's the awareness is raised for families as well as school personnel. People are looking for it. They're recognizing it more. And I think just acknowledging for students who have been bullied that it is a pretty significant experience for them has made a difference.
And we also heard from Pamela. Pamela writes that she knows of at least two students who were bullied in local schools. Their parents ultimately had to pull them out because it wasn't addressed. And I'm sure there are parents probably listening right now who have been through a similar situation. Is there support available for parents and families who feel that their bullying situation hasn't been addressed properly by their school?
There is limited support in that we can work with from the DPI. We manage a lot of calls like this where parents want to know what to do. But ultimately, the authority lies in the school board. The way the current legislation is set up and as a local control state, there isn't any recourse that they have from the State Department, for example. And we can coach them and work with them on how to do that. I would say that sometimes schools aren't very good about sharing what they are doing and how they are trying to manage it. And sometimes it appears that things aren't being done. And there are any number of situations that are occurring in schools that can make this a difficult problem to address. There is legislation that does allow families, however, to move their children to another school through an open enrollment process outside of the typical standard enrollment time for four conditions. So any time during the year, a parent can request an open enrollment. And one of those four conditions is bullying. So they do have that option.
That's the parent side of things. If there are people out there listening who work with the schools and are thinking, yeah, we could up our game on this, what kind of resources are out there to help them?
So on our website, we've created a comprehensive bully prevention assessment tool so that schools can see what it actually takes. There's a lot more to this. It's a complex problem. People have been looking at this for a very long time. And, you know, there are any number of things besides a curriculum that schools need to do. And part of it is training all staff on what it is and to recognize it. So on our website, we have that tool so schools can sit down and see kind of where they're currently at, what they're doing well, and what they need some support on. And then each of those sections of that assessment tool, there are resources that schools could use. So examples about how they might do investigations of bullying reports or report forms or how they communicate to parents about what's happening or what their policy and their procedures are. So there are resources on there for them to do that.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Beth, as you just said, there's no one magic solution to bullying. But if one change could be made, one priority could be set to help, what would you like to see?
You know, I think when schools focus on creating a climate where students feel welcome, families feel welcome, and adults and students build strong bonds and relationships, you're going to create an environment where bullying just cannot happen all that easily. So it's creating the environment where the types of actions that are bullying actions, the gossip, the threats, the using your power to control somebody else just is not going to be an option because the environment doesn't allow it.
Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Beth Herman, education consultant with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's Student Services Prevention and Wellness Team. She joined us today to talk about tracking data on bullying in Wisconsin schools.